Good evening. Just to do something different, I thought I would make a bulletin for tonight versus a PowerPoint, just to make sure we know how to use our Bibles, Phil, and not maybe a electronic tool of some sort. So I want us, as you get the bulletin, go ahead and put your name on it so you don't lose it. I always make the young people do that, especially at youth rallies, because 50% of the time they leave it on their seat and go home. So make sure you put your name on it. We are covering today dealing with temptation, and I wanted to put a positive title on it, so I said overcoming temptation. So I want us to think about how we can be overcomers today. We've been dealing in this series with quite a few things that we could lump together about Christian life and how to overcome these sins in our life. So this topic today, it will hit on a few things and even overlap a few of the things that we've read. So overcoming temptation. Like Jordan said, on the back of this are the announcements. So please go home, think about these announcements, and please volunteer. We need help, and we want to be a good volunteers to help in these outreaches, especially the Bridges Luncheon and the Christmas dinner. We're going to need a lot of help, so please let those responsible brethren know about that. Overcoming temptation. I'm going to begin with the two verses on the front. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When we think about temptation, we're going to go deep into what causes us to fall into temptation. And of course, we're going to define it first because we want to define the topic. If not, you and I may have a different thought of what temptation is. So let's clarify and let's define what it is specifically. But know this. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have help. We have power by the Holy Spirit to overcome. So if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have help. I know even as we sit here, we may put on a mask or a face for certain places in our time. But we all have certain things that tempt us, and we may fall into these different kinds of temptations. Let it not reign in your life. Let it not reign in your life, but have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you first have to know him as your Lord and Savior. So if you haven't done that, that's critical. But if you have done that, and you still deal and cry over temptations, let's go deep into this topic. And if you need to cry out for help, first of all, I put Jonathan and I, our contact information on the back of this, but cry out to a fellow brother or sister and seek help, seek counsel, seek accountability. These are some of the things that I may gloss over, but I want to make sure I hit on these. We have a Lord. We have a good Father in heaven that gives us help. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. We have an high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has been tempted in every way, and he knows. So with that, I'm framing this topic to know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is help. There is victory over temptation. I want to start with that. Many of us, as you go on in years in your Christian years, in your Christian life, little things that we get entangled with, sin that so easily entangles us, we give many excuses for it. We give many, it's not a big deal when you compare me with so-and-so or compare me with... But God knows. God knows, and he wants holiness. He wants blamelessness in our life, and therefore he calls us to have victory over these things. So I want us to really consider these things deep. Let me open it in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we seek your help in this hour of study. Lord, in this topic of temptations, Lord, we ask that you would help us to examine our life, Lord, and not to gloss over these things that we may have trivialized, Lord, and have put to the side and said it's not a big deal. Lord, but help us to examine, Lord, what you would want us to, Lord, confess and repent to. Lord, and to live gloriously for thy name and thy glory. Lord, help us to examine these things. Give me help, Lord, as I consider this topic, Lord, and challenge us all, Lord, to, Lord, just to honor you and glorify you in this life you have given us. We thank you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. And as you're turning to James chapter 1, you open your bulletin. And if you have a pen or if you need a pen, there's pens up here. I want us to define what temptation is. And temptation, especially when you think of James chapter 1, what it considers. But temptation, periazo, has two shades of meaning. And you could begin writing on this, but on the first line you could write, temptation has the definition of testing. And on the second line you write temptation. And I want us to define this a little bit. This periazo has the idea of trial or temptation, to try, to put to the test in a good or bad sense, entice to sin, tempt, testing. So it has two shades of meaning here, and I want us to define it, specifically the one we're going to consider, which is temptation. But testing, this definition, is the idea of putting to the proof from either a good or bad intention is found throughout the Bible. Testing is from the Lord. The Lord often tests his people with the purpose of strengthening their faith. Who can you think of that was strengthened or tested in their faith? Anyone? Job, good. Anyone else? David? Abraham? I really thought of Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. There's a strengthening of their faith, right? So I want us to think of that. And temptation is different in the idea of, ordinarily temptation is thought of, the word means solicitation to that which is evil. And hence from Satan, as he's called the tempter. So I want us to think of these things in these two kind of definitions. One, to be tested in the faith. And James, in the first half of this chapter, of James chapter 1, talks about the testing and the persecution that they're in, and that they should stand strong. Stand strong in the midst of persecution. Blessed is the man who endures this temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Then in the chapter, it switches to evil, the solicitation from evil. And this is the thought of being tempted, being solicited for evil gains, of being to falter at their faith, to cause to sin. Okay? And this is very clear that James wants us to define it in this way. Our Lord, in the same way, was tempted in the wilderness, right? What did Satan do to Jesus, right? He tempted him to bow down, right? And we're going to look at some of those things. The temptation was not internal, but a real, active, subtle meaning. It was not self-sought, right? Satan was the accuser, right? Satan was the tempter. And it was he wanted an act of obedience on his part. Christ was led, and he was driven. And we know that Satan was the leader of that. So that's the definition that I want us to think about. To be enticed, to falter in faith, to sin. Okay? We know it's not testing because God is not evil. God does not cause sin, right? That's the idea James is bringing here, and we're going to look and go deeper into this. Before I do that, we have to think about, when I say temptation, Many people think about sexual desires right away. But temptations, I'm going to cover in a wholesome kind of topic and cover the desires of sexual needs. But what are the different types that you see here? Materialism, pride, laziness, anger, bitterness, sexual desires, envy, gluttony, lying, greed, success. Especially with Thanksgiving and all the Black Friday mess. You see, right? The world, the fallen world, and our old nature is drawn to these things that can become evil in our lives, right? Materialism. You don't have X. You need X. I saw an Acura commercial, and it was just so evil. It was just like, oh, you are just depressed and sad because you don't have this one car. Go out and get it right now. There's only $209. Wait, Acura is probably more than that. But anyway, this world, this fallen world, is built on these temptations. So when I say temptations, I want you guys to think about in your life, what's got to grab a hold of you? What's bringing you down and causes you to sin before God? Materialism. Is it pride? Maybe you should ask another loved one on some of these things. Laziness? Anger? Bitterness? Is there something that has always rises your dander? Sexual desires, pornography, envy, gluttony, lying, greed. Maybe it's success. This constant need to be one up. The Lord often tests his people with the purpose of strengthening their faith, while Satan tempts them because he wishes to undermine their faith and causes them to sin. In James chapter 1, I read some of these verses. But I want us to cover this in whole and kind of understand what are the steps of temptation so that you're aware of, hey, I'm about to fall into sin. I'm about to be led into a place where God is not. And God is holy, right? God is holy, and therefore he desires his people to be holy. That's his desire. But we are caused, because of our fallen nature and because of the tempter, the deceiver, he leads us astray. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Right here, you have the steps of temptation. And whatever that is in your life, I want you to think about this, okay? And we're going to compare it also. Go ahead and put a finger in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to talk about how Eve was tempted, okay? I want us to think about the steps of temptation. The common error James considers here, okay? James 1, verse 1 through 12, he says, this is the testing of your faith in the persecution, in the midst of your persecution. Here's the testing. Now, in temptation, cause of evil, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Common error here, and you can see that in your bulletin, is making excuses. You cannot say, I am tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. See, a lot of times, what do? We have this little thorn in our life, which is our temptation, right? This little thing that our fallen old man is tempted towards, right? And every time we fail, we say, oh God, why do you do this to me? Why do you give me this such a desire? How can this be wrong? And we make excuses, right? We even spend pharmaceutical money and counseling money, mental health money, for all these temptations in our life. Whereas, let's call it what it is. It's sin. It's evil. It is not of God. So the common error here, what do we do in our temptations? We say, we blame, right? It's the blame game. We blame. We make excuses. God, how can this? I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Let's not consider this. Let's stop making excuses and call it what it is, sin. So James calls this out and says, okay, stop making excuses. Stop making excuses, and let's consider this. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Genesis chapter 3, and I want us to go through these steps here and think about it. It's an amazing thought here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. In Genesis chapter 3, I want us to think about what happens when we come across temptation, okay? Now the serpent, verse 1, was more cunning than any beast of the field for which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" So the first thought here is Satan, right? We have to understand that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, right? The spiritual realm. So we have to understand that Satan is active. He's the tempter. He's the accuser. He's the deceiver, sending suggestive thoughts, sending these thoughts into our eyes. What happened to Eve? Serpent was more cunning, crafty, wise, evil. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Think about that. Think about your temptation if it was greed. Oh, you don't have enough. Oh, you need more. What is this? Satan here is persuading, right? It's the power of persuasion. Whatever temptation is, it starts with a thought. It starts with an idea of something you need, something you want, something that the fallen nature wants. Satan persuades. And what does Eve do? She allows Satan's words to be debated in her mind, considering an evil suggestion. So think about it, okay? Maybe it's your temptation is to anger and bitterness, right? You entertain that one thing that raises the back hairs on your head, right? And you keep entertaining a suggestion or thought, and for years you have never taken it before the Lord and asked for forgiveness and asked that person for forgiveness, but it's always been that thing in the back. Suggestion. She entertains a thought. Can you think about what advertising is all about? Suggestive thought. Think about, since I was looking at Nicholas, think about that fishing pole you need. Think about that fishing supply you need. Oh man, you could catch a bigger fish. You want that big one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden." Verse 3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Next, we go into insinuation, right? This is the thought of, I had to define this, the art or power of stealing into the affections. You're stealing into the affection. Satan saying, "Well, is it really true?" Serpent said in verse 4, "You will not surely die." Satan insinuates that God did not tell her the truth, and God was not interested in her welfare. Why would God hold back something so desirous, so desirable? Why would God hold it back? Do you see how the foothold gets in? A mere entertaining thought and a suggestion of temptation. And then what do? We take it and we say, would God hold something back that feels so good? Insinuation. Eve allows it to fester in her mind. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What happens next? We have rationalization. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. You have a thought, a suggested thought, and you consider that evil suggestion when you probably, like Joseph, what should you do? Run, right? He ran. He knew what he was. He was a holy, he was a child of God. And as a child of God, should I even entertain something so evil and desirous? Or should I run? But Eve, in the fall, what happens? She takes the suggestion. It plants a seed. Insinuation happens and rationalizes, would God hold back something that felt so good? And there would be no... accepted Satan's way of thinking, wrong was right and right was wrong, and there wouldn't be any penalties. And we know the story here, what happens, right? The last part, as we allow rationalization to take part, is what caves in, the will, right? The will caves in and you make the decision to sin, to allow that temptation to take you away. But each one is tempted when he is drawn. That one word has these steps in it. Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. When the will caves in to suggestion, to insinuation, to rationalization, and gives way to sin, lust, I read, and I like how one commentator put it, lust was impregnated into the mind. The fallen nature takes over, and sin is committed. I want you to think about this thought here. I want to read a story here that I came across. And you guys, and this is specifically mothers, you would like this one. In a supermarket one day, a mother was pushing a shopping cart with a small child in it. As she was not paying attention to where she was going, she turned down an aisle and suddenly realized it was the candy aisle. Immediately, she turned completely around and went the other direction. She knew the small child would not be able to handle the situation in the same way, God protects us from things we can't handle. What did the mother do? I'm out of here. I'm not even going to deal with rationalizing. I'm out of here. Takes the temptation away. So often we say maybe to sin instead of no. So often we say maybe to sin instead of no, leaving the option open for us to say yes. This is not resisting Satan or the temptations placed before us. We are like the person trying to get rid of a salesman on his doorstep without saying a firm no and closing the door. Though we say we are not interested in buying Satan's product, sin, we leave the door ajar and continue to discuss the tempting wares. We leave open the possibility for the devil to make a sale. To resist temptation, we must say a firm no and shut the door. A little girl once said in response to a question about how to deal with temptation, when Satan comes knocking at the door of my heart, I send Jesus to answer the door. When Satan sees Jesus, he says, oops, I'm sorry, I must have the wrong house. When tempted, learn the lesson of the dog. Anyone who has trained a dog to obey knows this scene. A bit of meat or bread is placed on the floor near the dog, and the master says, no, which the dog knows which the dog knows, means that he must not touch it. The dog will usually take his eyes off the food because the temptation to disobey would be too great and instead will fix his eyes on the master's face. That is the lesson of the dog. Always look to the master's face. Brothers and sisters, consider what your temptation is. Consider what is causing you to fall so many times. Are you allowing even the suggestion and the insinuation that God is allowing these things to enter into our mind where we should run? Can you imagine what was going through David's mind on the roof? What was going through his mind? He should have been out at war. He should have been taking care of his responsibilities. But in this one moment, he said, oh, could it be something better for me? Could there be? Was he not blessed enough? Was he not called out for God's purposes? And he allowed this temptation to grab a hold of him. And what happened? Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. See, Joseph said, how can I do this thing against God? How can I even entertain these thoughts? See, you guys might call me crazy or, you know, I told you guys that it's hard to even watch TV with our kids. We're either turning it off or changing the channel or muting it right away. And people could call me crazy. I don't care. I want them to have this idea, this sense of sin, this evil, what Satan is doing to our minds and our thoughts, entertaining, suggesting things that cause us, bring us and entice us away to God. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Brings forth death. Not only we allow our fallen nature and lust to impregnate and to cause to sin, it brings death. Death is apataleo, a method of sin to maturity. Sin in its maturity has ramifications. It could start off with a simple picture of a scantily clad image of a woman or man on a screen, and for years it would wreak havoc in life. Method of sin to maturity is exceeding sinfulness. Romans 7:13 even hit on this. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Now, let me bring this to a real thought here. If you allow drinking to take over your life, you become a drunk. If you're a drunk, you're a drunkard. Once you're a drunkard, what happens? It causes hurt. It causes pain. It causes broken families. It causes death even. Alcoholism brings forth death. It could bring forth death to someone else if you're driving. If you smoke and you smoke marijuana, what does it lead to? It could lead to cocaine. It could lead to heroin. It could lead to unbelievable amount of addiction, which leads to death, brokenness. Family's broken. The man or the woman who indulges in sexual escapades also leads to what? Could lead to broken relationships, prostitution, divorce, broken families, all kinds of diseases. Do you see the idea that James is bringing here? There is ramification when we allow temptations to take over us. Whatever it may be, gluttony, greed, pride, whatever it is, it brings destruction. This is the point that we're taking here. I want to switch now into what's overcoming temptation. Know and follow Christ. There was a recent survey of Discipleship Journal, and readers ranked areas of greatest spiritual challenge to them. Okay, they ranked greatest spiritual challenge to them. Here's the ranking. Number one, this was over 10 years ago, okay? So I'm giving you dated statistics, sorry. This is over 10 years ago. This was the list. Number 9 was lying. Number 8 was gluttony. Number 7, envy. Number 5, there was a tie between anger, bitterness, and sexual lust. 4 was laziness. 3 was self-centeredness. And 2 was pride. And number 1 was materialism. They ranked their areas of greatest spiritual challenge, and then they said this. Survey respondents noted temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time with God, 81%. It was more potent when they neglected their time with God. And when they were physically tired was another area that caused great temptation, 57%. Neglection of time with God when they were physically tired. Then they say, resisting temptation was accomplished by, number one, 84%, prayer. Time with God, prayer. Number two, avoiding compromising situations. Do you avoid the computer and TV late at night? Avoid it. Do you avoid situations that will cause you to lie? So number one was prayer, resisting temptation. Number two was avoiding compromising situations. Number three, 66%, Bible study. And number four, being accountable to someone, 52%. Can you imagine that? Resisting temptation was accomplished by prayer, avoiding compromising temptations, Bible study, and being accountable to someone. I don't know about you, but this is all in the Bible. This is all what I want to talk about in our last closing time together. Hebrews 4:15 again. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weakness, but one who is tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Know Him as your first step to victory over temptation. You have a problem with greed? You have a problem with lust? You have a problem with pride? Come to the Savior. Know Him. And He knows our weaknesses. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And this is when the temptation in the wilderness, temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it is written. That's powerful. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only, and you shall serve, and him only you shall serve. I want to pause there. I want us to consider that knowing our high priest was tempted in every way, he helps us. He understands what we go through, and he's faithful to the very end to make a way of escape. But in James chapter 1, go back to James chapter 1. I want us to look at one verse, and I know my time is fleeting here, but after the portion we just studied, verse 13 through 15, then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. What does he say in the very next verse? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. I think that's powerful when he says, do not be deceived. You need to do work on your side. You need to understand the temptations that are in the world and to follow biblical principles that will hold you to the holiness God requires. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, from these temptations. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, and that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, okay, I love that. I know I make light of small little words, but there's a lot in between the spaces. So then, there must be work for us to do to be delivered from temptation. If we have a problem of falling into temptation, you need to understand these things. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's work to be done. I just want us to look at these last few things as I consider overcoming temptation and giving you some practical thoughts. Next is submit. I want you guys to write down James 4:7. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. Yield your lives up to God. Therefore, all that comes into your life, you filter through God in prayer, in Bible study, and obedience to his word. Submit to him. Any decision, you bring before the throne of grace. Submit to him. You have difficulty you're going through, financial, marital, whatever it is, through the kids, issues with kids, bring it to God. Submit to God. And you do not move until he gives you an answer. And you wait upon him for answer. Submit to God. Resist, James 4:7 again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Joseph, Genesis chapter 39, read it over again. What did Joseph do? He ran. He resisted the temptation. I'm sure Potiphar's wife was very good looking. And he had a moment to decide to honor God. How can I do this before you, God? I'm out the door. Resist the devil. Know that he is cunning. Know that he is wise. Know that he is crafty in sending us these suggestive thoughts and ideas through whatever means that are in the world. Obey. Obey the word of God. Go ahead and write down Galatians 5:16 here. I'm going to read this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Obey the word of God. Submit. Walk in the Spirit. And I could have went on the whole thing of mortify the flesh. Crucify it. Reckon it dead. Walk in the Spirit. We must learn to walk. A lot of us, we've received salvation and we've never moved on. We've never considered these things of the old nature of the flesh and considered it dead. How now should I live as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Confess and repent. You could write there 1 John 1 and 9, very familiar verses again. If you have things that have not given over to the Lord, these temptations that have wreaked havoc in your faith journey, today is the day. Confess and repent. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 2, chapter 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Brothers and sisters, it's time to not allow these things to reign in our life. It's time now to overcome and have victory in Christ. I put a little quote in here in the back of your bulletin, and I thought this was real good because it gives us an understanding how should we live our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, "What settings are you in when you fall? Examine your life. If you're in a total work situation that is just horrible, maybe you need to move on and pray to God to move you to a different place. Avoid them. What settings are you in when you fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? What if it's lust, if it's pornography, if it's temptations of that sort? You put a password of thing of you can't reach those sites anymore. You should not be before an electronic screen after 9 o'clock, after 10, whatever it may be. You get an accountability partner. That's your spouse. If it's not your spouse, you call a fellow brother in the gathering to help you. Avoid. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with? Avoid them. There are two equally damning lies Satan wants us to believe. One, just once won't hurt. And number two, now that you have ruined your life, you are beyond God's use and might as well enjoy sinning. Learn to say no. It will be more of use to you than to be able to read Latin. Charles Spurgeon had a way with words. Brothers and sisters, this is my thoughts for you today. And I gave you something to digest and to have victory over finally in your life. Let's close in a word of prayer, and I'll ask Jordan to close us in a song. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to look and consider your word, Lord, and specifically, Lord, those things that entice us to sin and that we allow evil into our lives. Lord, I pray even for myself, Lord, that I would be challenged to live a holier life, Lord, and that I would be an example unto my children, Lord, as they live gloriously for thy name. Lord, I just thank you for this time together. Pray, Lord, that these words will bless others, Lord. And, Lord, we need help and push us to be bold in asking for help and counsel, Lord. We thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have all life, all blessings, Lord. We thank you. And we just thank you for this time together. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.